The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody, on this balmy day. By the way, the record continues. We have never had a Mass at St. Jude that's been so snowed out that nobody showed up. 3 years ago, we had Snowmageddon with like 16 inches of snow. And I stayed at the church. I said every single Mass, and I swore that one of those Masses I'd be saying my own responses, right? Nobody would show up. But 3 minutes before 5 p.m., Gary Skinner rolled up in a 6x6 Arctic cat, and we had Mass, okay? So, by the way, Mass is never canceled, right? We always have Mass. So take a good look around, right, at all the lovely Christmas decorations up here, because come tomorrow, they're all gone. And we finally come to the end of our Christmas season. And just a little bit of Catholic trivia for you here this morning. This is the longest possible Christmas season this year. For some funny reason, when you have Christmas on a Tuesday, like we did this year, it's the longest possible Christmas season. And we come to the last feast day of the Christmas season, and maybe the most mysterious feast day of the entire year, the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus. Okay, three mysteries about this feast day. First of all, why the heck is Jesus being baptized? Second of all, why is the baptism of Jesus part of the Christmas season? I mean, you can figure Holy Family is part of the Christmas season. That's not too much of a stretch. And certainly the visit of the Magi, that's part of the Christmas season. But gosh, when you're talking about the baptism of Jesus, that's a solid 30 years later. How is that Christmas, right? How? And the third mystery of this day is, does this have any practical relevance to us? What difference does this make to us? Let's take a quick look at each one of those three, okay? First of all, why is Jesus being baptized? Now, we have a baptism right in the back of our church back here. Baptize little baby, you know what happens? Three things happen. Number one, original sin is washed away. Number two, you become a member of the church. Number three, you receive sanctifying grace. Okay, so original sin is washed away. Original sin is not like any other sin you've ever committed in your whole life. Original sin isn't something that you did. It's a condition that you inherited. It's a state of being alienated from God and His grace. And when you're baptized, that's all washed away. And you become an adopted son or daughter of God. And if you get baptized as an adult, not only is original sin washed away, but every sin you've ever committed in your whole life is forgiven completely. I did a baptism once for a man who was 93 years old. And I told him, all the sins of your life are forgiven. And he says, all of them? I say, all of them. He says, Father, I was in the Navy. He goes, now all of them are forgiven. And he wept tears of joy. He said, it's too good to be true. I said, it's so good, it's got to be true. I did a baptism for a woman hours before she died. It was at Mary Washington Hospital. And the family was there, and they said, she always wanted to be baptized. Can you do that for her? I said, yeah, I can do that for her. Hours before she died, there's not a single doubt that soul went straight to heaven, because everything was forgiven. You get baptized, and as an adult, you make off like a bandit, right? You can't do any better than that. Which is why, since the day you were born, your baptism is the most important thing that's ever happened to you. Do you know the date of your own baptism? You should look it up. I know mine. It's May 31st. May 31st. I celebrate it every year, right? It's the most important gift God's given you since the day you were born. But then also you become a member of the church. Now, you're not a member of the church, you know, the same way you're a member of the Knights of Columbus or the Women's Guild, you know, or the Elks Club or your local travel soccer team. The church isn't so much an organization as it is an organism. We are, it's very mysterious, the body of Christ and alive with his own life. Which, by the way, is what sanctifying grace is. Sanctifying grace, also given in baptism, it's his life. And by the way, that's the only hope you've got for one day seeing God in the face. That's the only hope you've got for one day being together with all those you've loved who've gone before us. It's not your life that makes you live forever. It's his life. That's handed over as a gift in baptism. Now, you take those three things, you apply those to the Lord, and it makes absolutely zero sense. Jesus doesn't need to be made a member of the church. Jesus is the church. And Jesus doesn't need sanctifying grace. Jesus is sanctifying grace. And I hope I don't need to convince you that Jesus doesn't need to have any of his sins forgiven, because he doesn't have any sins. So why is Jesus baptized? Well, John the Baptist's baptism is not our sacrament of baptism. It's a Jewish ceremony of repentance. It's called mikvah, and it still exists. And it started sometime around the time of John the Baptist, a ceremonial washing for a ritual purification from sins. And you can say, well, why is Jesus even doing that? And the answer is to identify with us as sinners. That's why. The prophet Isaiah said, when the Messiah comes, he will be numbered among transgressors. He wanted to be known as one of us, even in our guilt. Because that's important for us. You know, I was in Mexico with the Missionaries of Charity. And I was in the very, very poor part of Mexico. And the sisters, they just planted this beautiful garden in their convent. And Mother Teresa came by. And she saw the garden. She says, tear it up. And the sisters said, oh, Mother, why should we tear up? It's a lovely garden. And look at these beautiful flowers. And we just planted it. And, you know, sister over here, she worked so hard on it. Mother Teresa, she looks up into the hills. It's a very poor part of the country. Looks up into the hills at all the shanties and all the shacks. And she says, do you see any gardens up there with all those people? We got to identify with these people. Tear it up. That's why our Lord is baptized. And by the way, here's the only point in the entire Bible that the Holy Spirit is likened to a dove. We always think of the Holy Spirit as a dove. You want to know why? A dove was a sin offering. If you were rich, you offered a bull. If you were poor, you offered a dove. So our Lord's identifying with us, and that's also why it's part of the Christmas season. I think the worst thing to happen to Christmas in the last 100, 120 years has not been the commercialization of Christmas. I mean, it really is not that important to commercialize. What really does matter is the sentimentalization of Christmas. We forget why Jesus was born in the first place. The reason why our Lord was born in the first place is to make of himself an offering for sin. Nothing sentimental about that. To close the gap that sin had opened and divided us against God, against others, and even against ourselves. You know, we tend to think of sin as like a rule that we broke or a taboo. We don't think of it as it really is. If you think of sin accurately, it divides you from every relationship you have. It makes you think God is distant when he's not distant, but it makes you think he's distant. Hope I don't need to convince you sin divides us against one another. One of the worst consequences is it actually makes you hate yourself, sin does. You do what you know is wrong. Your actions against your beliefs, and you hate yourself for it. Our Lord came and that gap might be closed and we might be reconciled. That's why he identifies with us. And by the way, that's why it makes a practical difference in our lives. People should be able to tell that you've been baptized. It's a fair question on this day. Can anybody tell that you've been baptized? Is there anything different about you? There was a creative story that I heard, and it likened Christmas to D-Day. And it was a story of these two soldiers, Gabby and Mike, and they're discussing secret invasion plans of enemy-occupied territory. And as the story continues, you realize that Gabby and Mike are the archangels Gabriel and Michael, and that Earth is enemy-occupied territory, occupied by the power of evil. And that Christmas is God's D-Day. It's his invasion plan, sneaking behind enemy lines to rightly reclaim what is his. And the point of it was that in that fight, you and I are soldiers. It's hard. It's like we say in the Mass, he took on our humanity that we might take on his divinity. Ask people, you know, what's the Catholic faith all about? What's Christianity all about? 9 out of 10 people, they'll tell you, well, yeah, it's about being a good person, keeping the commandments, saying your prayers, trying to imitate Jesus. When the fact of the matter is actually far more mysterious. You want to know what the Catholic faith is really all about? It's about being united with God. United with God in the person of Jesus. He doesn't just want you to imitate him. He wants to be one with you. That what St. Paul said to the Galatians might be made true. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So the Christmas season, it comes to a close. But the reality of the Christmas season, that actually continues forever. Right? Let's let him live in you, that we might know what it means that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.